In 1 John chapter number 4, we're going to talk a little bit today about defining some things, determining some things. And I understand where we're at in 1 John. I understand that it's not a place where you get solid church age doctrine, but it's also a book where you can apply things to the church and the practical and spiritual application to us. And it's all, remember, it's not all written for us, but it's all written to us, or to us, but it's all written for us, excuse me. It's not all written directly to us, but it's all written for our learning and our admonition. And in 1 John, we're going to glean some things by the grace of God today that will help us out. And 1 John chapter number 4, we'll begin reading. But let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for another opportunity to meet together in your house, Lord. And Lord, it's all in vain if you don't meet with us and help us. And Lord, I'm asking you and begging you as a man, a weak man, to just guide my lips and breathe on this message. That it would help each and every person in here, including myself, Lord, that you would just work a miracle in our hearts and our minds and change our minds and hearts about some things, give us a better view of you. And Lord, help us to leave this room better able to glorify you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter 4 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and did testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." In verses 1 through 3, it tells us not to believe every spirit. That's very important. We are supposed to discern spiritual things by spiritual means. And this book is spirit. It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. God says it's this book. We need to be able to spiritually discern. A lot of folks are following the wrong spirit. Blood-bought, born-again people fall in the wrong spirit. Blood-bought, born-again people fall in the wrong Jesus. Some people accepted a wrong gospel, another gospel. It's a perverted version of the gospel that has got them confused and deceived, and they'll split hell wide open if they don't understand the true gospel. But this tells us to not believe every spirit, but to try the spirits, determining spiritual things. You need to determine spiritual things by spiritual means. When you make a decision, you need to pray about it. Amen. If it's an important decision, it needs to be prayed about. It needs to be thought about, prayed about, meditated over, read the Word of God. Sometimes God will give you an answer directly from His book. You'll be praying about something, you'll go down through this thing, and you'll get people's opinions over here, and people's opinions over there, and then you'll have your feelings, and you got to try to sort through your feelings, and this respected person's opinion, this maybe semi-respected, I'm not sure about this person, and their opinion sounded right though, they've been wrong on everything else, but that sounded good, you know, and you got somebody you really respect, and you really have a lot of confidence in, and they'll give you an opinion, it doesn't match up with that opinion, your feelings are going another direction, and you need to pray over some things. Amen. A lot of people have made some tremendous errors in their life because they didn't spiritually discern. If God wants you to move and He wants you to go to a different church, He wants you to switch jobs, He wants you to go to a different area, hey, He wants you to, He's got somebody, you think this might be your future spouse, this is something worth praying over, amen, to see if God's in it or not. And again, I'll use the illustration of the man that's, him and his family are going to move, and they come to the pastor and they say, well, Pastor, God's moving us. I got another job. It's paying me more money. I'm moving me down to Fort Who's Where, Nowhere, Nobody Knows Where, Kentucky or Arkansas. He's going to move you down there in the middle of nowhere, and me and the Lord, we're going to have all kinds of fun, just me and my wife and the Lord. And they say, well, yeah, good. Did you find a church? Oh, we don't know if there's a church down there yet. Well, you might want to pray about that. Well, I'm sure there's a church. I mean, there's a church every 4 feet in Kentucky and Arkansas, amen? But is it the church God wants you in? You see, that's more important than your job. Amen. That's one of the most important decisions you ever make. You need to pray about that thing. Oh, young man sees a young lady, boy, in his eyes, boy, he he's on fire for her. He's in love. Don't know what love means. All he knows is, she does something to him he can't explain. Something to pray over. Try the spirits. Say, why? Because it gets confusing. Hey, it gets confusing sometimes with your feelings and other people's opinions and what somebody else has done and what they've done right and what they've done wrong. Comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's something that needs to be prayed over. Young lady. Hey, young lady looking for a husband. Hey, you need to be praying about that before you ever think about one. Amen. The one. Those things are to be prayed over. They're spiritual things. So, well, that's just, no, it's a carnal. No, a marriage is a spiritual thing. It's a vow that two people make to God. Amen. Okay, I can put up with you and you can put up with me. Let's do this. Is God in it? See, these things are spiritual things. They need to be prayed about. They need to be determined by spiritual means. Prayer and the Word of God. A multitude of counselors, not a bad idea. Amen. I told people for years in healthcare, I told them, get two or three doctors' opinions till they start matching up. Because a lot of people come to me and they say, well, one doctor says this, another doctor says this, another doctor. I said, I'd keep going until I start getting some matching opinions. Amen. But hey, spiritual things, you need to seek wise counsel. The first wise counsel you need to seek and seek after heavily is from God Himself. And you know what God will do? He might tell you directly, or He might use somebody else to tell you. But the first part of that spiritual discernment is on your knees asking God to show you. We get the cart before the horse a lot of times. Oh, I'm just going to join this church because I like their music. I'm going to marry him because he's got a Camaro, not a Mustang, a Camaro. I'm going to marry her because she's pretty. Well, that Camaro's going to rust, and so is she, amen? Let me tell you about this. You better make sure God's in it. And if God brings it together, you know what He says? Let no man put it asunder. Make sure God's in it. Well, you know, I talk to people all the time, well, we don't go to church because, we've had so many problems in church, and you know, the problems in church. Well, the problem might be you're not praying about where God wants you to go to church. And if you ask them if they ever did, no, we know we'd feel it when we got to the right one. Well, you go running on feelings again. Hey, these spiritual things need to be spiritually discerned by a spiritual means. And feelings are very seldom spiritual. Not godly spiritual. Now, I like the way I feel when I'm in God's will. That's a good thing. Amen. But if you run on feelings, you're going to run yourself right in the dirt. You're going to run yourself headlong into the brick wall over and over and over and over again, because God says spiritual things are supposed to be spiritually discerned. And he's telling them here, try the spirits. Hey, you ever think, I've heard people tell me all the time, well, God's just blessing him, and God's, you know, they've got so much, they don't go to church and everything, but they're good people. And they love the Lord, and God's giving them all this money, and I'm like, yeah, the devil's laughing, going, here's another 1,000, here's another 10,000, here's your stock market tips, you can get another 50,000, and God's going, hey, whoa, read my Bible, pray. And they spend all their life listening to E.F. Hutton and Joel Osteen, they don't ever get a hold of God. Amen. Some of y'all are going, who's E.F. Hutton? Don't worry about either one of those two fools, get a hold of God. Amen. Determining spiritual things. Hey, things are worth praying about. What is? Everything. I mean, I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, should I have SpaghettiOs or should I have the straight spaghetti with the meatballs? I'm not talking about that. Which I don't think God would get upset about that, because he's your father. He'd like to hear from you on a regular basis. When you're going to make a decision that's going to affect your spiritual outcome, you need to make a spiritual decision based on spiritual means. We need to pray. We need to pray. Most people don't know what spiritual means anymore. Amen. Oh, it just felt right. Pastor, that ninth cheeseburger just felt right. And here I am at Penny's, and this just don't feel right anymore. I'll tell you why. Because God didn't want you to have to buy size 50 jeans. He wasn't in the ninth cheeseburger. I'm preaching to me now. Amen. Y'all can relax. Well, it just that's what happens when we go on feelings instead of facts. Amen? And God will give you the facts. We need to make a spiritual decision based on spiritual means. And, you know, prayer is overlooked by probably the great majority, the vast majority of saved people. Totally overlooked. Most people only pray when their life is utterly destroyed. Or when they're getting ready to go to the ninth cheeseburger. Amen. Lord, bless this Tootsie Roll. Amen. Oh, Lord, I don't know how I got in this mess. And the Lord's like, well, I'd tell you, but you wouldn't be able to handle it. So I'll ease you into this. So then you start praying and getting in your Bible, and he starts taking you through the steps. Well, you missed me here. You didn't pray here. You weren't reading here. This was all feelings from 18 to 35. You were running on feelings. And now that you're looking for truth, you've got to deal with the results of the feelings. Sowing and reaping. Every one of us has those weeds in our garden, amen? But you need to pray about things. Determining spiritual things. In 5 and 6 it says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Determining truth. Spiritual thing, you almost cannot separate these two things. Spiritual things and truth. What God is telling you may not be what you've learned. What God is telling you may not be what your grandma thought. What God is telling you may not be what your pastor thought sometimes. Amen. Sometimes the pastor's just better off saying, I don't know, but I'll pray about it, and I'll pray for you, and I'll pray with you, because I don't know. I don't want to give you wrong advice. Amen. Sometimes I'll say, obviously this is wrong. I'm not sure what right is, but I can tell you that's wrong. Amen. But the thing is, you got to determine truth, and the truth is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is in Jesus Christ, and the truth is in this Bible. If it doesn't match up with this book, it's not the truth. People are being lulled into a sense of running on feelings only. What they're doing to the kids, what they're doing to the young kids, they want you to run your feelings only. But God has given us a guide. That guide is a Bible. Young men, young women, the Bible will give you a good life. Amen. Determining spiritual things, determining truth. Oh, here's an important one. We'll talk about this a little later again. But, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Defining love. Defining love. I'll bet you that if we handed out a sheet of paper and we give everybody in here a paper and pen and said, don't put your name on this. Matter of fact, type it out so nobody knows whose it was. Amen. Nobody can figure out your writing or anything. Give me the best definition you have of love. We'd have a whole bunch of different definitions of love. Would one of them be right? I don't know. It'd be a bunch of wrong ones, though. You know what this world has? A bunch of wrong ones. A bunch of wrong ones. You need to define love. And then in 9 through 13, it talks about God giving His love to us through Jesus Christ. That's directing love. He tells us to love one another. We're supposed to find out what love means and then love one another. Amen? Love is not simply tolerance. Sometimes it feels like that. Amen? My wife said, anyway, that's what I hear. I don't know. She tolerates me because she loves the Lord. Amen? But I'm saying it's not simply tolerance. Find out what it is and direct it the way God says direct it. He directed it your way on Calvary. Amen? It says in 14 and 15, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit, because He loves us. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That delivering love delivered me from my sins when I called on Jesus Christ. It delivered you too if you're saved. Best dictionary in the world. Come on, Webster's 1828. That's a good one, right? That's a good one. If you went to, one of these new dictionaries, one of these dictionary websites, or what are these goofy things on there? They tell you everything on the internet. Somebody help me out. Wikipedia or something like that. They'll help you to define things and understand things, right? Probably one of the best dictionaries ever written by man, directed by man, was Webster's 1828. Is that the best one? It's a good one. Here's the best one. Here's the best dictionary in the world right here. You know what God says? He says, He is love. Right? And He directs us to love one another. And His love delivered us. And He expects us to figure out what love is from Him. From Him. Not from a cartoon character on Saturday morning, or an after-school special, or from Hollywood, from Oprah. Amen. From Him. If God is love, and He commands us to love one another, I think it's important we find out what it is. In Proverbs chapter 8, I'll read down through here a little ways. In verse 14 it says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. This is the Lord. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. He has that for people that love Him. I love them that love me. Hey, God is offering His revenue and His riches, His enduring blessings to those that love Him. Don't you think we ought to find out what He says love is? Well, what is love? I mean, we go down the road over here in Richmond the other day. We were going over to, coming back from, I don't know, maybe it was Walmart. I'll just throw it out there. Most of the times Walmart's involved, or Kroger's or somewhere. And they got the signs out there. Love is love. No. I mean, if you take the word love, spell the same, and you put an equal sign between it and the word spell the same, yeah, those two words are the same. But love is not love. Love is not love. I mean, God is love, and God's not in that perversion. He's not within 1,000 miles of that mess. God's rainbow means something totally different. Amen? Well, love is love. Love prevails. Yeah, God is love. God prevails. Love will win. Yes, He will. But this world doesn't understand what love is. And the sad part is, hey, look, I'm not telling you, if I could explain to you exactly what love is, I could tell you exactly what God is. But I can tell you what he ain't, what he's not, amen? And he's not in that perverted mess. He's not in the way the world sees love. We need to find out the best we can what God expects us to offer others if he's telling us to love one another. We do that by looking at the definitions we find in the Bible. I'm just going to give you a starting point today. Pray about it and read up on love in your Bible. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." There's your eternal security from Proverbs. How about that? Love covereth all sins. He just said that he loved us and showed that love through Jesus Christ going to the cross for us. Guess what it covered? All my sins. All my sins. When he died on Calvary, I wasn't even born yet. You know what he died for? All my sins. And when he died on Calvary, I don't think most of you weren't born yet either. No. Nobody in this room was born. He died for all your sins. Oh, well, I got people telling me all the time, well, he died to give you a chance. I didn't have a chance with him or without him unless he saved me. Unless his righteousness is on my account, I have no chance. He died for all of my sins. It, right there it talks about. God is love. And love covereth all sins. You accept that from God, he covers all of them. You know what else he'll do? After salvation, when the flesh gets messed up and wicked, he'll wipe them clean again if you go to Jesus Christ and get them under the blood. Amen. I'm not talking about for eternal security. You got eternal security when you got saved. Because he died for all of my sins, paid all my sin debt. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." So we're starting to see a little bit of an idea of what love really means here. Love came to Calvary and died on the cross for you and me to cover all of our sins. All of our sins. He tells us to love one another. You know what he tells the husbands? To love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now look, that's a commandment. That's not a maybe, possibly, you know, suggestion. He tells the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. See, we're starting to get a build up a definition of love. A definition of love is a God giving his son, God wiping out our sin debt, and we trust him, call on him. And then God tells the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the wife as Christ loved the church and gave. So love's giving. Love's giving. You know what the world thinks love is? Taking. Taking. Oh, I love her for what she does for me. I love him for what he does for me. I love this brother in Christ more than that brother in Christ because of what he does for me. I love this sister because of what they do for me. And true love is looking for an opportunity to do for others. Amen. God didn't die for you because you're simply irresistible. He made a choice to love you and die for you. Believe me, we're resistible. But God loves you. Lay down his life for his friends. You know what happens in... You see, if a husband and wife are supposed to love, and they're supposed to be a love like God mixed up in a marriage... You got to understand what love is. He commands the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we've got men all over this world saying they love their wives. They spend very little time with them. All of their focus is on their bass boat, their race car, their friends, their booze. I'm talking about people that say they're blood-bought born again. Their focus is on their hobbies, their friends, their... whatever they're addicted to, their alcohol. And I'm talking about saved people or people that claim to be saved. They've got all these other things going on. They've got no time for God. They love their wife. Why do that? Because she keeps their socks clean. It says, and gave himself for it. A husband's primary focus should be seeing that his wife is getting spiritual needs met. Not that he's catching the biggest bass of all his friends. And I'm not against fishing. I like fishing. I like cars. I got a soft spot for fast Camaros, but I like Mustangs too. But a Mustang or a Camaro is not more important than my wife. Amen? See, people understand what love is. I like cars. I love my wife. Amen? But people don't understand what love means. They throw that word out there like it just sticks on anything. Oh, man. And Baptists are probably worse than anybody about this. Man, I love mashed potatoes. I love fried chicken. Me and Bill love, we deeply like fried chicken. Bill might love it. I don't know. But anyway, we got to be careful. We throw that word out there, and before you know it, you start handing that word out so easily. And the next thing you know, they look at somebody and go, I love them too because they can do something for me. And you have no idea if God's in it at all. And true love is about giving, not taking. Amen. I'm telling you, women give more than men ever could. They do. They're natural givers. Men are conquerors. You know the way. The only way a man can start to love the way God says to love is by that book. It's against man's nature to slow down and view things and read instructions and take instructions. Man's nature is to go full force and sometimes in the wrong direction. That's man's old nature. But when you get the Spirit of God in you and you got a Bible, man, you should know how to love your wives. You should be learning how. Amen. And women should love the Lord. And if women love the Lord, they'll treat their husbands right. Amen. They'll treat their husbands right. Why? Because a woman is, there's something inside a mother and a woman that is geared to give. They give their whole life. I heard a Pastor Sal said something to me one time. Oh, he didn't say it to me. I heard him say it to a man, and I caught it, and it hit me right between the eyes like a sledgehammer. He was talking to this guy, and the guy was talking about his wife, and they were just talking out in the foyer. They weren't like in a counseling session. And he said, well, doofus, he said, she's got to follow you. And I thought, ooh, that was harsh. But you know what it was? It was the truth. He expect her to follow him, even if he's going in the wrong direction. Even if he's not loving her the way God says to love, like Christ loved the church, he expects her to just be perfect. Isn't that something? That helped my marriage. I was just an innocent bystander. Well, wasn't innocent, but I was a bystander, amen? You know what the Holy Spirit said? Hey, you can learn from this. You better shut up. Amen? But we have to define these terms. And the Bible says to love as God loves. You better find out what love means. I mean, young men and young women, you got to be careful about these things because the lust of the eyes can sometimes be confused with the love of God. Oh, well, she just looks pretty, and I've been praying for God to send me a pretty one. Well, hang around long enough, and you get to see the inside a little bit where you can see through them eyes and see what's really down in there and see if she really loves God. Hang around long enough to see if he really loves God. Because if he don't love God, he'll never love you the way God says to love you. And if she don't love God, she'll never love you the way you want her to love you. Amen. First John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now see, I am 180 degrees against this stuff about people saying don't fear God. But if you love God perfectly, you have nothing to fear. But when you're not loving him right, fear God. You say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Well, tell me then, what's your definition? Let me see your piece of paper. What'd you write down? Get in that book and find out what love means. Amen? I know some of y'all have been married longer than me, probably happier than my wife is. I don't know. That might be hard to know. But you can always learn from the Bible. Amen? We can always learn something from the Bible. Matthew tells us to love our enemies. You know what the worst thing in the world would be? To be stuck in a relationship, a marital relationship, where you have to love your enemy. Because you're going one way and they're going the other. And you know what most of the time it is? Both people are going the wrong way. Because if you turn both of them toward Jesus Christ, they're both going the same way. And then guess what? They're going the right way. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Takes us back to the spiritual discernment and determining truth. Is it the truth? Oh, God wants me to have her. God wants me to have him. God wants me to have this. God wants me to do that. God wants me to move there. God wants me to transfer there. God wants me to change to this position. Is that the truth, or is that what you feel about? Ladies, give. That's where I was at when I was talking about Pastor Sal saying, you know, follow you. Ladies, give their lives. They turn their lives over, especially back in the old days when women wanted a husband that was a man. Back in the old days, right? Now they just want somebody that plays video games where they go out and be the man. I guess, because that's all they're going to get most of the time. But when they wanted a man, they wanted somebody that would be their knight in shining armor that they could turn their life over to and trust them with it. And you know the only way they can do that? If that man loves God. And that man tries to love his wife the way God says to love her. All the men are, all these women. Hey, the women got ripped off. They got ripped off when men quit wanting to be men. Amen. It's not about the arm wrestling contest. It's not about who has the faster car. It's not about the 18-pound bass trophy. It's not about that stuff. It's about loving a wife the way Christ says to love a wife. And when men quit doing that, the women got ripped off. Because they used to raise women to grow up as little girls thinking about their knight in shining armor they were going to spend the rest of their life with, they were going to be happy with, raise a family with, and the next thing you know, they're a single mom with a wedding certificate. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Oh, they still got rings, they still got the paper. But they all went to the bass tournament, everything's going well. She's got four kids hanging off her back, and one down on the floor tearing stuff up, and he's like, yeah, I'm having fun, honey. He got ripped off. But you know what the devil did? The devil ripped the men off by feeding them a lie and telling them, go get everything you can get. Life is short. You need to do what you want to do. Be your own man. When God wants you to be his man. Men. Love your enemies. So what can your enemies do for you? They can make you understand Christ more. He died for his enemies. Seriously, you're looking to pray for them and love them. How do you love them? Give them the truth. Give them the truth. And the Bible says you can give them the truth in love. In the will of God, the way God wants you to do it. All the stuff that's going wrong in this world, there are people getting saved out of all those messes. Every mess you could possibly think of that man has made, people are getting saved out of that stuff. The worst wickedness and perversion you could ever think of, man is getting saved out of that. Why? Because somebody's loving their enemies. Somebody's praying for them. Hey, loving your enemy is not going, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with you on that, but you're a good person and it's okay. No, loving your enemy is going, God says that's wrong. I'll pray for you. And I'll tell you how to get to heaven. I'll give you this Bible tract. But what you're doing is wrong. You love your kids, you tell them they're wrong sometimes. My folks told me all the time, even if I was right, they just got stuck on wrong. No. But you tell them they're wrong. Oh, you're right, Johnny, because that's right for you. No. It's not situational rightness. It's either right or wrong. It's not what you feel is right and what you feel is right, and you're both telling two opposite things, but you're both right, because that's right for you and that's right for you. There is a right and wrong. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, but be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, the Lord says, I rebuke and chasten. You know what the Bible says? He that spareth the rod hateth his child. You don't rebuke them and chase them, you hate them. You say, well, no, I love them. No, you're going by feelings. True biblical love is telling them the truth. You know why? Because you want to be right with God. Hey, look, I don't care. Hey, when I die and I'm in the grave, I don't care if my kids think, man, that guy was a... I don't know about that guy. I want them to love God. If they think I walked on water and I was the greatest guy in the world and they didn't love God, it'd be a failure. Amen. It'd be a total waste of my life if my kids hated God. If they didn't even try to find out what God wanted, they never prayed, they never went to church, they never read their Bible, they never even wanted to know what love really meant. They were running on emotion all the time and, oh man, Dad, he was this, that, or the other. And they hated God. Nah. My job is not to be my kid's best friend. My job is to give them the truth. I don't always do it right. I try to do it. Sometimes I get too much of me mixed into it and too little of God. It's still the truth. No, God don't want you to do that. I love you and you can be mad if you want, but I want you to be right with God. God's not in that decision. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it, and you're going to head long into the wall, you're going to bash your brains into that thing, go ahead. But I'm telling you, God's not in that. You're in a full-grown adult now because you're 12. You know everything. You ever had to do that with your kids, even younger? Just let them do it. Let them crash and burn. But you give them warning, tell them, look, I love you, I don't want you to do this. Okay, if you have to do it, go ahead. I messed up. Because God wasn't in it. If they can learn that when they're 12, they'll be a lot better off when they're 20 and 30 and 40. Don't you wish we had a time machine? Because I believe we should have heard this message 30 years ago. I should have. Amen. God is love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what he says? I love you, and I will not let you go the wrong direction very long. Rebuke and chasten. You know what he does with the Bible? If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to get a lot more chastening. Because rebuke, he just tells you you're wrong. He says, you're wrong. And he'll tell you right from this book, and you can go, you're right. And if you get right, then you don't have to chasten you. Most people don't read their Bibles anymore. They just run around running on feelings, and then the next thing you know, God says, you're like, fool. Why'd that happen? I was going to tell you in Joshua chapter 8, but you didn't listen. I tried to tell you in Psalm 35, but you didn't listen. I tried to tell you in Revelation 3:19, but you didn't listen. Prayerful decisions. Read your Bible. Give the truth in love. But find out what love is. Elizabeth Taylor didn't know. Amen. She's like a Baptist preacher. She told her husbands, don't worry, I won't keep you long. Amen. Of course, she told the truth. You don't know what love is. You want to find out what love is? Find out what God's done for you on Calvary again. Go back to Calvary. Start writing down a list of things you're thankful for. Forget about the wants and needs. Start writing down things you're thankful for. And start reading the Bible and asking Him to show you what love really is. You know what He'll do? He'll introduce you to Himself. Because God is love. God is love. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word and ask for Your blessing on it. Don't let us just go home and forget it. What You want to do in each and every one of our hearts, what You wanted to do, Lord, let it come to fruition. Let us not stand in Your way. Help us to be more like You and help us to get our definitions from You and not the world, especially when it comes to something as important as love. We love You and thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Keep us safe. Amen.